And finally tonight, let's turn in our Bibles to our sermon text, which is Psalm number 30. Psalm number 30. A psalm of David, a song of the dedication of the temple, as the heading reads. Now we read this in verse 1. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up, and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought me up, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pits. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry. And to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. May the Lord write his words upon our hearts this evening. Well, as we've been focusing our hearts and minds for the last several weeks in these evening sermons on the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, or sometimes we talk about it as the preservation of the saints. It's a persevering Christian life because we, as pilgrims, make our way from one degree of glory to another. We leave Egypt behind. We travel through the wilderness. We make our way eventually to that everlasting city beyond the river, so to speak, of life. And we come to that great promised land. It's a life of perseverance. It's also a life that we experience God's preservation. He keeps us. He holds us. He guards us in our faith. And as we've been focusing upon the doctrine and the ups and the downs of the Christian life in terms of persevering, I think a good little summary would be helpful. A good little summary of what is the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. And we'll look in a moment here at the canons of Dort, which express for us the biblical doctrine. What have we been looking at? What have we been learning? What have we been saying from the Word of God as it's summarized for us in one of our confessions of faith? And here's a summary for us to think about in terms of the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Not really a doctrine, but also our life. The born-again child of God cannot fall out of grace, although he or she can fall into sin. That's really the summary of what we've been seeing. The born-again child of God cannot fall out of grace. We can't lose, ultimately, our salvation, although we can, from time to time, fall into sin. We saw that in John 10, where Jesus talks about no one being able to snatch us out of the Father's hand, no one being able to snatch us from his own hand. I and the Father are one. Not even the devil can snatch us out. And so we can fall into sin, and even great, heinous sins. Peter denies Christ three times. David commits adultery. We can commit great sin. But in that, we cannot completely and totally fall out of grace. We can't even, as some have said, well, we can't fall out of God's hand, but we can jump out ourselves. God won't let us fall, but we can ourselves, with our own free will, jump out. Wouldn't even believe that. You and I, as born-again children of God, can fall into sins, but we cannot fall out of grace. And we've seen in several ways this idea. There are all kinds of struggles that you and I face as believers in Jesus. And these struggles that we have, they lead us, we've seen, to struggles in faith. We can lack faith. We can not exercise our faith completely and fully as we ought. And so our struggles can lead us to doubts, a lack of assurance, struggles of conscience. And that can lead us into sin. And that sin that we can commit can lead us into even greater sins, which leads us to interrupt faith even more. And a vicious cycle continues. Yet in all of that, we still have faith. In all the falling into sin, we are still kept by grace in the power of God. To give a couple of illustrations of what this means, that the born-again child of God, you and I as regenerated believers, that we can fall out, that we can fall into sin but not out of grace. Our faith can be at times like a smoldering piece of charcoal in the bottom of a fire, covered up by a whole heap of ashes. It's still there, but it's barely flickering, barely smoldering, covered up, but yet underneath it's still there. When we struggle in faith and we struggle in sin, our faith is like the sun that at times is covered up by dark storm clouds. The sun is still there. You know it's there. You can not only see its outline or its shadow, and you feel something of its heat, but it's covered up at times by clouds. At times in our struggles, and at times when our faith is weak and we fall into sin and we have doubts, and it sort of cycles itself throughout our life in many ways, we can sort of, with our faith, run, as it were, run away and hide in the corner of our heart, so to speak, ashamed to come out, ashamed to come out of that corner because of our sin. The question is, as we thought about this last Sunday from Psalm 32, and why we feel distant from God, it's because of our sins, because we're feeling sin's effects. The question is, in these times of backsliding, as they're called, we slide back towards Egypt instead of moving forward towards the promised land. The question is, can God renew my backsliding? Can God renew me in faith? Can he renew me in hope? Can he renew me in love? I can slide back, but can God push me forward? I can fall into sin. Can God renew my heart to know that I've not fallen out of his grace? And so can God renew my backsliding? In the resounding answer that we see here in Psalm 30, we see that all that the scriptures is, of course, yes. God can renew my backsliding because we have a renewing God. It's the first thing to see here in Psalm 30, a renewing God. Nine times, in fact, here in these 12 short verses, nine times, David calls upon God. He invokes the name of the Lord. Verse 1 and verse 2 and so forth. Whenever you see the Lord's name in all capital letters, this is the name of God that the Lord revealed himself to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. I am that I am. In other words, I will be faithful to my promises. I will be faithful to myself. I will be for you, Moses and Israel, what I was to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will be for everyone who calls upon my name forever and ever and ever. I am who I am. And so he calls upon that God. Nine times he says, O Lord, I will extol you, O Lord. O Lord my God. O Lord, you've brought up my soul, and so forth. It expresses God's faithfulness to God's own promises. David's fallen into sin. And so he cries out to this renewing God who himself keeps promises when we don't. When David's fallen into sin, he looks not inside to himself, he looks outward to the Lord, who's able to renew us in faith, hope, and love. Listen to Matthew Henry. I put a little citation for you on the sermon notes page. Matthew Henry, great Puritan author, express God's ability to renew us from our struggles and sin, renewing us to a stronger faith. And when that line of the psalm says, "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning," in verse number 5, Matthew Henry said this, "And it be a wearisome night." Weeping endures for a night, and it's a wearisome night. "Yet as sure as the light of the morning returns after the darkness of the night, so sure will joy and comfort return in a short time, in due time, to the people of God." And here's why, notice. "For the covenant of grace," God's promises, "is as firm as the covenant of the day." As sure as God is going to bring the sun up in the morning and he's going to set it down at night and do the whole thing all over again, so sure is God's promise to renew in faith, to give joy to the true believer. If you look over with me in Jeremiah 31, just for a quick moment, Jeremiah chapter 31, you see this as well. Right at the beginning there, in the prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet is writing to Israel because of its sins and because of their exile. They've been sent away from the promised land. They've backslidden as far as you possibly can. They've denied God. They rejected his covenant. They sinned against all of his commandments and so forth. But yet the Lord promises renewal. Notice in verse number 2 there, when the Lord promises renewal, and his promise comes, quote, "to the people who survived the sword, who were in the wilderness." They have backslidden. And in that context, it was they had survived the city, the nation being besieged by the Assyrians and lived the Babylonians. They were in the wilderness, not in the promised land. Let me read this in verse number 3. "I have loved you." This is that famous verse, isn't it? "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." I've loved you with an everlasting love, his faithfulness, covenant faithfulness. He's made promises, he keeps promises. "And therefore I have continued," he says, "my faithfulness to you." He's not cut us off completely, is what he's saying. So why can God renew my backsliding? The answer is that he is faithful to his promises. That's the kind of God he is. Turn also in the back of the hymnal for a moment to see this idea of God who is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God and a renewing God, a God who's powerful to renew us because he keeps his promises. On page number 110, Canons of Dort 5, Article 6, Canons of Dort, weakened by our great sins, of course, we saw last Sunday night in Article 5, weakened by our great sins, we can offend God and so forth, lose a sense of his favor for a time. But God, who is rich in mercy, this is Ephesians 1, according to his unchangeable purpose of election, does not wholly withdraw the Holy Spirit from his own people, even in their grievous falls, nor suffers or permits them to proceed so far as to lose the grace of adoption and forfeit the state of justification. We can fall into sin, notice, but not out of grace. That's the point. Or to commit the sin unto death or against the Holy Spirit. Nor does he permit them to be totally deserted, to plunge themselves into everlasting destruction. Now notice this. Article 7. The canons of Dort goes on to express two promises that God makes and that God keeps. Two great reasons why we know that even when we backslide, God is able to renew us. It's because first he preserves regeneration, and secondly, he provides repentance. For in the first place, here's why we know that God will uphold us even in our great sins. For in the first place, in these falls, he preserves in them the incorruptible seed of regeneration from perishing or being totally lost. That's 1 Peter chapter 1. God has planted a seed into our hearts the word of the gospel that has given us new life. It's caused us to be born again. And even in our greatest and our deepest and our farthest falls, he preserves that seed. Even when the grass sort of is mowed all the way down, underneath the soil, there's still the seed that has germinated and has caused roots to grow. And eventually those roots are going to cause that grass to grow again. It cannot perish or be totally lost. We may not see on the surface of our lives, as we've seen already, we may not see on the surface of our lives the plant growing, the fruit being produced. But underneath it, the Lord is preserving the seed of regeneration. And notice, secondly, that God also provides repentance. He promises us to preserve our regeneration. He promises us that he will provide us repentance. It says this again and again, by his word and spirit. He certainly and effectually renews them to repentance, to a sincere and godly sorrow for their sins. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 7. When the Lord brought back his ancient people, Jeremiah 31 again, when he brought them back from exile to the promised land, he told them this. Jeremiah 31, I'll just read for you verses 8 and 9. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind, the lame, the pregnant woman, and she who is in labor, together a great company. They shall return here. With weeping they shall come. And with pleas for mercy I will lead them back. That's repentance. I will make them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they will not stumble. For I am a father to Israel. And Ephraim is my firstborn. Can God renew my backsliding? Can God renew your backsliding? Can God renew me in my own sins? My doubts of God's promises? My actual sins? We confess the things that we've done, the things that we've not done tonight. There's no health in us. Can God renew us to health? God can do it because that's kind of God he is. He's a renewing God. And even when that seed looks as if it's dead, he causes it to come to life again. And it gives us repentance to turn away from ourselves, to cry out to him. Can God renew my backsliding? And the answer again is yes, because we have a renewing God first, and secondly, we are a renewed people. Those that this God renews are renewed. And there are several characteristics of what a renewed people look like. And we'll look at that in the psalm in just a second here. But if you have that hymnal open again, just notice there, Article 7, as it goes on to give a list of the characteristics. What does it look like for me who has backslidden, even seriously? What does it look like for me to be renewed and to be a renewed person in Christ whose evidences my being born again, my evidence in that, the fact that I've repented of my sins. Notice, a renewed people seek remission. We seek forgiveness. They may seek. Here's why God preserves us, and here's why God renews us by his word and spirit. It's that they may seek and obtain remission, forgiveness, in the blood of the mediator. That's what David's doing here in Psalm 30. He's crying out there in Psalm 30, verse 2, O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. I was sick in sin. I repented of my sins. I cried out to you. I was sorry for my sins. I looked to you, and you healed me. Again, verse number 8, to you, O Lord. Again, notice, seeking the Lord, seeking remission in the Lord himself alone. To you, O Lord, I cry. And to the Lord I plead for mercy. Hear, O Lord, verse 10, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. What does it look like for you and me in our weaknesses and our failings and our faults, our sins? What does it look like to be renewed and stirred up again to true zeal and true service of God? It looks like this: seeking forgiveness, crying out for mercy, praying to God to be our help, to be your help, to be my help. A renewed people also experience the favor of God. Notice again that article, the key to the door, that they may again experience the favor of a reconciled God. And there's those amazing words in Psalm 30. If you don't remember or memorize those words of verse number 5, or maybe you've never read those words before, write these words down. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping endures for a night. Joy comes in the morning. That's describing this experience, the favor of God. I've cried out to God. I've pled for him for mercy, for his help. And it describes what the experience, the favor of God looks like. It's experiencing for a moment. Notice the contrast. For a moment, God has been angry at me for my sin. But I know that his favor, his faithfulness, his covenant promises endure forever. I've cried out for a night. I've wet my bed, we sang from Psalm 6, with my tears. But I know that joy comes in the morning. There's anger and there's favor. There's a moment, there's a lifetime. There's weeping, there's joy. There's a night, there's the morning. That's what it looks like to be a renewed believer in Jesus Christ. To experience that favor of a reconciled God. And David knows the anger and the weeping lasts for a moment in the nighttime. But as we experience, as we live that night, it's just a night in comparison to eternity, but as we're in that night, it feels like death itself, doesn't it? That's why he says in verse 3, you have brought up my soul from Sheol, the grave itself. You restored me to life from among those who were down to the pit. He's been restored. He knows now. Everyone else like me who's sinned and who's died, I've been, as it were, dead in my sins. But you've restored me. You've lifted me up. Here's what Calvin said about that phrase there in verse number 3 about God restoring to life from among those who go down to the pit. That's what it's like to be restored to a reconciled God, to be reconciled ourselves and to be renewed in the love of God. It's as if we've gone down to the pit and died ourselves. Calvin said this, he reckoned, speaking of David, he reckoned that he could not sufficiently express in words the magnitude of the favor which God had conferred upon him, unless he compared the darkness of that period to a grave and pit into which he had been forced to throw himself hastily to protect his life by hiding until the flame of insurrection was quenched. The only way for David to express what it was like to fall into sin was to describe it as death itself. But what's the experience of a renewed people? It's the experience of the favor of God, once again, resurrection life. Joy in the morning. A renewed people adore God's mercies as well, as that article says, that they may through faith adore his mercies. I will extol you, O Lord, verse 1. Sing praise to the Lord, O you his saints. Give thanks to his holy name, verse 4. You've turned for me my mourning into dancing. You've loosed my sackcloth. That's the clothing of lament and sorrow. You've loosed my sackcloth. You've clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. When you're renewed, you adore, you praise, you worship, you sing, you pray, you give your life to Christ once again. And renewed people work out their salvation, as that article says again. They work out their salvation more diligently with fear and trembling, quoting there Philippians 2. That's what David's doing here. Notice again in verse 2 that he says that I cried to the Lord for help. The Lord healed me. And therefore he goes on to praise the Lord. And then he asks rhetorically in verse number 9, what profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Absolutely not. But I will, David is saying. Lord, you've renewed me And I've recognized that my life in my sin is like death itself. It's like going into the pit. It's like being in the dust. It's a life that's not full of gratitude, and it's not a life that's not working out my salvation with fear and trembling. But Lord, now that you've restored me, I will. The dust can't praise you. The grave can't praise you. But I will praise you and give myself to you once again. And so, loved ones, well, you and I can fall into sin, even as heinous as denying Jesus for a time, even as bad as committing adultery, even as bad as murdering, as David did. We can fall into generic sin. We can fall into small sins. We can fall into great sin. But you cannot fall out of grace. God is a renewing God. His name is the Lord. His name is I Am That I Am. And the God who has begun a good work in you promises to be faithful to complete that work, himself being a renewer, and you yourself being the one who is renewed by him. He promises this, guarantees this to us in Jesus Christ. Let us cry out to him, turn to him, look to him, ask him to renew us, to fill us again with his praise, and to fill us again with his joy, and to have our mourning turned to dancing, to have our weeping turned to laughter. Let's pray.